The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The collision of common sense and comedy.
This is the collision of common sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Hashtag smart people don't say. I tweeted out yesterday at the end of the program because I stumbled upon a list on the internet. Things smart people never say. So we'll use hashtag smart people don't say. And then you let us know what smart people don't say. A little chuckle there.
I was just going through my head what smart people probably don't say.
Because remember, one of the rules, this may be rule six. We may have to send this to the advisory committee, the executive advisory rules committee, that everything on the internet is a challenge.
Pretty much, yeah. Because
that's a challenge.
That's a challenge.
Smart people don't say as a hashtag. So, yeah, there's a lot. Well, let me give you a couple on the list here first, and we'll get some calls coming up. 888-900-3393. Number one on the list, they say, is you look tired.
They don't say that, or they do say that?
No, smart people don't say.
Smart people don't say
you
that.
You look tired.
Tell me there's never been a smart people to say you look tired?
The idea is smart people wouldn't normally say such things. If you want to be smart, you wouldn't say. It's not a good thing to say, basically. Okay. Because you're telling people,
the other person.
You look tired. Is tired a good look?
Especially don't say that to a woman.
I've
done that by accident.
Honey, so you look tired. The only thing better is, or worse is, honey, you look fat. That's it. You don't even have to say it. You can think it and it's going to be trouble for you. So the idea is tired a good look for people?
Obviously not. No.
Okay,
no,
then you're saying you look like hell.
You look like dog crap.
That's not a good thing to say. Hashtag smart people don't say. Here's another one on the list. You've lost weight. The idea there is that you used to think.
You're not fat anymore.
Well, you're not even saying that. They could still be fat. You've just lost some of your fat. Right? And by the way, the last time I saw you, I was thinking, wow,
you're really,
really fat. And I still may be thinking you're really fat, but you're not as fat as the last time I saw you or used to be.
Almost a compliment.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you tell somebody, oh my gosh, you look so great today, that's better.
Okay.
Something like that. So, hashtag smart people don't say. Change is good. That's a little insulting because it really depends upon the type of change. And usually you're saying that to somebody who's
really stupid.
Well, and has had a lot of really bad change. Yeah. Like you lost your job because you never say it to somebody.
Well, you know, they say change is good.
Right. Like, let's say tomorrow Chris Cruz comes in and goes, I hit the lotto. I hit Powerball for $100 million. You and I don't have to go, Chris, change is good sometimes, right?
No,
we don't have to because
it's more like, so, Chris, you're looking great today. Did you lose some weight?
Well, yeah.
Can I borrow some money?
Normally, you say change is good in response to, oh, you lost your foot in that wood chipper, huh? Yeah. Chris, you know, sometimes change is good.
Oh, your wife left you. You know, sometimes change is good.
I'm sorry you got fired with extreme prejudice, but
you know, sometimes change is good.
It's good. Could be, so.
Oh, you got gonorrhea? Sometimes change is good.
Hashtag smart people don't say, you look great for your age. Stop it right at you look great. The prepositional phrase for your age is the problem there.
You look great.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of times I'm thinking for your age. Sometimes I think you look bad for your age.
Well,
right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You're like this, you look great. For your age, inside the internal voice.
Internal voice.
Problem's when the internal voice goes external sometimes.
Well, some people don't have that filter between their brain and their mouth.
I don't. I don't. Yeah, quite often, I do not. I really do not.
When I say some people, I mean Doc Thompson.
Actually, I'm going to say no. I do. I have an amazing filter.
No, you don't.
I really do because you don't know the stuff that I don't say. As much as I put out there, think about it. It's still the iceberg. I'm still only at like one ninth.
Your brain's natural instinct not to get itself killed.
I've still got eight. If I say that much that is bad, I've still got 8/9 under the water. You don't understand in meetings how difficult.
The iceberg.
It is.
That little tip that comes out. Oh
my
gosh.
That's the stuff that you say.
That is, I realize that is my constant struggle. Wow. That's what's holding me back. I have to fight to hold all that stuff back. And you know how much I put out there.
I do.
So constantly I'm like, don't say that. Don't do that.
Sweating.
Don't. Yeah, don't say that. Don't do that. Let me give myself a lot. I have really done well in life. I feel better already. Hashtag smart people don't say rules are meant to be broken. No, they're not. They're literally the opposite that. It's absolutely, that's not what they're made for. They're made quite literally to not be broken. That is the point of the rule, that we do not break. They may be bad rules, but they are not made to be broken.
By definition,
right?
They are not meant to be broken.
Absolutely not. Hashtag smart people don't say, if it's meant for you, it won't pass you by. If it's meant, it'll happen.
That usually means you didn't get what you wanted.
Yeah, that's pretty much it or whatever. It's kind of a stupid thing to say. But it's one of those reassuring things. Number 7, chill out or relax. Nobody wants to hear this because normally they're saying it at a time when they're really stressed out, and that just heaps a bunch more stress on them. That's what that's about right there. This one, I'm not sure if I really understand. They say that's really unique. I don't hear that often. According to the article, they say if something is one of a kind, it cannot have degrees of one of a kindness.
Huh?
That's really unique.
That doesn't sound like something.
Oh, maybe it's the really part. It's really unique. You can't. It's just unique or not.
Okay.
Maybe that's what. That must be what it. I know of other things, and I'm trying to give an example where people say that's. They take a word that is meant to be the extreme.
Okay.
That would be like saying, wow, that's the best. That's really the best. Or that's the bestest type of thing. It's like, I'm trying to think of another
best
example
ever.
Where people, there's words that mean the extreme, and then people try to add another, like add an adjective to make it even, you know, bigger and
right.
better. No, it's the extreme. I catch people doing that. So hashtag smart people don't say. We gave some examples yesterday afternoon. We're thinking about smart people don't say, things like, we've got to pass the bill to find out what's in it.
Yes.
Right? I mean, there's all kinds of things. And I can't help but think that there's probably a lot of things right now floating out there in the media, you know, hashtag smart people don't say.
Something tells me that Congress does not subscribe to the things smart people don't say.
Yeah, here's the reason why. There's not a lot of smart people in Congress.
No, not at all, yeah.
See, so like, I'm thinking they say a lot of dumb
politicians
things.
Politicians in general.
Let me think.
At this point, yes, what difference does it make?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's not a smart thing to say.
You mean like with a cloth?
No, like...
we got to wipe it. Did they wipe the server? You mean like with a cloth? wait, what? They said, you know what? Come on. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna call foul on that, by the way.
What?
I don't even think that's just a stupid thing to say. I think she knew it was a stupid thing to say.
She's trying to be funny.
It was just she was just a politician being a douche.
Oh, okay.
That was a douchey thing to say. That wasn't like a stupid... Because who, even at her 112 years of age...
126.
26 years of age, does she not know wiping a server? Seriously, you wouldn't go... maybe they mean something other than dust it with a cloth and pledge.
She's trying to be a smart ass.
Right, exactly. That and try to make it, what? Oh, like I'm shocked to wipe it. What? You got to meet with a rag because I know you wouldn't mean like erase it. I know. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I
don't care how old you are at that point. You're going to say wipe the server. Wait a minute. They can't mean like dust it off. Get the end dust.
I don't.
You know, the lemon pledge.
Get my, what are those? Swiffer sweeper.
Swiffer.
Bring me my Swiffer sweeper.
So, anyways, hashtag smart people don't say. We'll explore that throughout the program this morning. Lots of interesting things going on. The president in Poland speechifying this morning and calling out North Korea again. Yesterday, you probably didn't see it because you don't watch what I do outside of this place. In fact, you rarely watch this program or take part in it.
I really try not to watch much of anything.
Or listen to what's going on in this program. But now, yesterday on the think tank, we were discussing North Korea, and Glenn laid out scenarios that would avoid us going to war.
Okay.
And by the way, when we say war with North Korea or... It's not one country attacking another country, and we battle it out on the field with men in tanks and hand-to-hand and guns. And
the field of war.
Right. The war on terror. The rules of war dictate. It's completely different. It could be exclusively a cyborg. Could be anything. It could be one military action.
I feel like when it comes to nuclear weapons, there is no, like, war.
There isn't.
It's just like someone pushes a button and lots of people die.
Exactly. So when we say war, it's very open-ended and loose. It's not one definition. But to avoid war, that broad, all-encompassing term with North Korea, there are only a handful of scenarios. And we laid them out. So I walk in the think tank before the show, and they start listing them up there because Glenn's going to hit the points. And I go up to it, and I look at it, and I was like, wait, what? So I call a bunch of the team over, and like Jason Buttrell, who writes for Glenn, he's on the program, and I was like, do you really think, because he's like the foreign policy expert too, an intelligence guy, that these will? And he goes, no, they won't. Like, and that ended up being the point, is that these are the best options to avoid war, and it's still not going to happen. One of them is North Korea gives up its nukes program. Remember, regimes like North Korea, the sole purpose of the regime is to protect the regime. You've got to think of them like organisms. They're like a living organism, like a group of cells that, and it's their whole exclusive purpose is to protect the regime. It's our fight to survive, our survival instinct.
By regime, you mean like the, what's the family called? The Un clan?
Kims.
The Kims?
They put that up first, yeah.
Okay.
Kim Il-sung, Kim Jong-il. Yeah.
So they always want a Kim in power?
Right, exactly.
Even the non-Kims?
Right, exactly. Right. It's and right now the regime is Kim Jong-un. Uh-huh. I mean, it's not even about the family name, it's about him. And then when he gets ready to go, you just, put your successor. But we even have a survival instinct as human beings that sometimes is trumped by other things. Our love, where we push somebody else to save our child and give up our life for it, give up our life for a friend. Mm-hmm. When we are trying to hook up with somebody, the drive to procreate can trump your survival.
Okay.
Right? When you're like, I know I shouldn't be in her room in the middle of the night when her husband
I'm
is home.
Going to regret this.
Right, exactly. That type of thing. But whatever. So we do stupid things. It's all about survival, about them. So they're not going to give it up because they see that as survival. That's where they need to be. One of them was...
let's say they get this amazing other option.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, they get offered, food and riches and everything. You just got to give up the nuclear program.
No.
They'll never give it up.
It's not going to happen.
Nothing they want more than that.
That's it. Right, exactly. And they won't stop. And even if they gave that up, they're not going to stop the other stuff. I mean, it's all... Well, which brings number two. Number two is that the U.S. and South Korea stop working together. We, stop, take our military out of there, whatever. South Korea, basically capitulates. It's not going to happen.
Right.
First of all, even if we did that, they're not going to go, oh, good, and leave it alone. In order to survive, they also have to try to grow the regime constantly. Eventually, they would attack South Korea. If they didn't think anybody would stop them... Outside of this, of course they would take it. Of course they would. That's going to be, excuse me. And then the other with Chinese sanctions. If China went full bore sanctions against them, that wouldn't happen. In some ways, that could actually force them to make a greater effort to attack, somebody because they have to, okay, we don't got any other options yet. We're going to die here soon. We got
to
attack now.
Nothing left to lose kind of thing.
Right. Now, the point of that is none of these things definitively would stop some sort of inevitable, and again, I use war as a broad term. At some point, something's going to happen. They're continuing to try to grow. At some point, they will cross the Rubicon.
Right.
We don't know that may have already happened 4 years ago or 10 years ago. And we're just, but we're on that road. And miracles could happen. Any combination of things could happen. But the best case scenarios, those three we laid out, are not likely to happen. Ergo, it's just a matter of time.
Scenario.
It's just a matter of time. Mm-hmm. Hey, got to tell you about Relief Factor. It is a fantastic program that was designed to get rid of the inflammation in your body. It has worked for me. It has worked for Cal. It has worked for many other people because inflammation is what often causes pain. A lot of people will try to mask that pain narcotics, pain blockers, all these different systems, salves, ointments, balms, gels and elixirs, medications, narcotics, all these things that are not always good for you. Try Relief Factor. Bottom line, it works. And in today's world, with all the stuff that you face, all of the challenges you have, to find something that so many people have found success with for under $20, that's amazing. All you have to do is go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-83. It's relieffactor.com or 800-500-8384. You know, look at it this way. I've had people tell me, a handful of people have said, yeah, I tried, it didn't really work for me. But overwhelmingly, the people that I've suggested it to have come back with success. There are some people it hasn't worked for their particular needs. But I would say of the people that I have specifically, personally presented it to, and then people who have contacted us, well into the high 90 percentile.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's Relief Factor at relieffactor.com or 800-500-8384.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson will be right back on the Blaze Radio Network.
Hashtag smart people don't say. Well, I was watching MSNBC this morning and smart people don't say that.
Lucky for
See, you're dumb if you were watching MSNBC.
I think they're getting the there.
Yeah.
I got the connection there.
What does Larky Farkin have?
Larky Farkin just had hashtag smart people don't say, hold my beer.
Hashtag smart people don't say from Greg Anderson. Can we please have another Cal's app of the day?
Week.
Oh. Cal's app of the week. Cal.
And
sorry, Greg. Sorry.
Smart people.
Sorry about that. Okay? I don't think they're they always, do. Do you have one?
Like, of course I have one.
Okay.
I got one that's going to knock your socks off. So,
wow. Is like it off. A doozy?
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy.
It's a doozy. Do you ever worry about people reading your email?
Every second of every day. That's my chief concern.
The NSA.
That's nonstop.
I mean, you know, I'm a big Gmail user, but Google can read your email all the time.
Okay. What are you saying?
You're putting a lot of faith in them, thinking like, oh, they're not going to read my email. They're not using that data.
They can't see the pictures, though, right? They can't see the pictures.
No, they can see that, too. You ever like write something in your email about, I don't know, like, I really want to get a new lawnmower. That's just for me, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden, you got lawnmower ads in your email.
It's freaky,
popping up.
Yeah, I know.
It's because they read your email.
They're all over.
I have a solution for that. Mm-hmm. Encrypted email. There are a few different services out there.
Encrypted.
But this one specifically, I've been using and I like it very much because it fits my budget of free. It's called Proton Mail.
Proton Mail.
Proton Mail.
I used to watch those cartoons
not
when I was
electron,
a kid.
Not electron, not neutron.
I really like Proton Female.
Proton Mail.
She was much more.
Oh, yeah. She was,
hot. She really was.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of freaky, but okay. Proton
those
Mail.
Those extra electrons.
Is a encrypted end-to-end, well, from your end, encrypted email.
Mm-hmm.
If the other person you're emailing has Proton Mail, then it's encrypted end-to-end.
Mm-hmm.
It's got some really cool features, like a self-delete. You can set, let's say I send you an email. I can set that email to delete within a certain amount of time if I wanted to.
Where does it go when it's deleted?
Into the delete box of the world of the universe.
Into the inbox.
Who are you? Mission Impossible?
There's a big trash bin in the universe of emails. It goes there.
Space junk.
Space email junk. So there's a free version and there's a paid version. Obviously, the free version has limitations like 500 meg storage, 150 messages per day. But then if you want to spend a little money, like $4 a month, you can up that to 5 gigs of storage, send up to 1,000 messages a day. And it goes up more and more. If you want to spend a little bit more, you get a little more space, a little more perks and stuff.
And how would people find this?
You can download the app, Proton Mail, search in the app stores.
I was thinking maybe you'd say at Cal79 on Twitter. They could just download
the link. That was the next part. I'm going to tweet it out. The link.
So sent.
You can go to protonmail.com as well.
Hashtag Cal's app.
You don't want to wait for me to tweet.
By the way, do not search proton female. Yeah. Do not search that.
No.
That's a rule 34 right there, I'm telling you.
Remember when we were talking about things smart people don't say?
Oh, that's probably
proton, proton female is one of those
probably
things.
One of those things. Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do that, yeah.
Hashtag Cal's app of the week
proton
on Twitter.
Proton male.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Hashtag smart people don't say. Larky Parkin, smart people don't say, I spent $160 on a haircut.
That's
a shot at Chris Cruz right there.
That's true, you know, I would have to agree there.
DM and DM, hashtag smart people don't say, does my man bun look good? You know why they don't say that? Because man buns don't look good.
No, they don't.
In fact, here's the thing. Buns generally don't look good. There may be exceptions to the rule, but I would say generally on most women even, it would look better if you had something else. So even if you see a woman and you're like, oh my God, she's hot, and she happens to have a bun in, there may be some people like that. If they were to do something different with their hair, invariably it would look better.
It would look better.
By the way, have you seen there's a couple of man buns around here.
I have.
You seen it?
I have seen a few of them. Something about a man bun just makes me angry.
They don't know how much it takes for me not to say something to them about the man bun.
You know what makes it worse is a man bun with a beard. Like if you got a full beard and a man bun.
Yep.
Sorry.
And by the way, you're just bragging then too. For those of us that are follically challenged, you're just bragging now. Hashtag smart people don't say. The 1980s called. They want their foreign policy back. It's amazing that in just a few years how that changed. When he said it, when President Obama said it during the re-election, one of the re-election debates to Mitt Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And it was conventional wisdom at the time. People were like, oh my gosh. And it wasn't just conventional wisdom. It was conventional wisdom of how far we had come
from
just a few decades.
Like the Cold War.
And everyone's like, you're right. We're in a new era. It's not about Russia. It's about all these other things in the Middle East and China. And then son of a gun, he was right.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish someone could throw that in. You think anybody threw it in his face?
No, I don't even know if he would get it still.
Behind closed doors.
Hashtag smart people don't say, it's a female penis. That's from Wonder Slug Vika.
Since you proud go tweeted.
It's a man vagina. You don't understand. It's a mangina. That's what we call it.
Smart people don't say, that Nigerian prince sounds really believable.
It's so funny. That is so... so funny. By the way, I got to find a way to quickly, to efficiently be able to record people who telemarket me.
There's an app for that.
Well, the problem is any of the apps that they have, it's like you have to stop, hang on a second, and then dial a third party. None of them will let you record right to your phone just by hitting a button.
No, there are.
There are?
Yeah.
Last time I checked, there was not. This is admittedly a year and a half, 2 years ago.
There are a few. I featured some of them.
You did not feature one of those.
Yes, I did.
No, you did not. They're all where you have to do something else.
You tell me when.
Okay, you find me an app to do it. No, okay, maybe you're right. I'm gonna find you one.
I'm pretty sure that when Cal's app of the week comes on, you just tune out.
The ones I've seen are all some sort of, you have to stop and dial another one. It's not just...
The apps that I featured don't just do that. There's some. Remember a couple months...
But you're saying they do exist, though.
Yes.
You find me one because I've got to do it because I'm going to start playing them on the air here.
Well, a few months ago, back before the new year, there was an app called Anchor.
What did that do? Did you feature it, though?
One of the features that I think it was your own, basically like a radio station of your own or a channel of your own.
But you didn't talk about the recording feature so much.
I did talk about the recording feature.
About recording phone calls, though.
Yes, you can record.
No, because at the time I would have said, oh my God, I want that to record.
It's a channel of your own where you can talk about whatever you want and you can record conversations. Let's say you want to interview somebody on your channel. and you can record the conversation and put it on your channel.
But you didn't say it like if you got a telemarketer, you could
I didn't say it like if you want to get a telemarketer, specifically for that example.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. But okay, and I could do it after they've called me. It's not like, I'm going to interview, so let me start recording, then I'll dial them up or whatever. I could just, as someone calls, I could just casually hit the button and start recording.
I haven't tried that specific maneuver.
But Kirk, how does this sound to you? Because it sounds like it changed from when he first started telling me about it.
Sounds like he said he featured several.
Function.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But it's out there, Cal, because I need that app. If you can find it, God bless you. Because I get the telemarketing calls, and I'm like, this is great content. Because I'm putting some of my best crap out there in the afternoon when they call me. When I just start messing with them, I'm like, tell me more. I can tell you what I did. This is like over the weekend. So I get the telemarketing call. I'm looking for your computer. We are getting some messages from your computer. Do you have a problem? Like this. So, and it's the same ones where they want you to go and then give them remote access to your computer. I've gotten a billion of these calls. And they won't stop. By the way, you can't say put me on the do not call list or any of that stuff because they're not following the law anyway.
Nope.
So I just mess with them and I figure maybe they'll take me off their list if I just eat up so much of their time that it's cost prohibitive and it makes me feel good.
Here, look.
So I'm gonna show you. So what I did this time, the guy calls and I'm driving down the road and I'll just go, tell me more. And I just let him talk and talk until I'm not even paying attention until they stop talking. And I'm like, hello, what was that last part? And I just keep saying random stuff. Sometimes this goes on for like an hour while I'm watching TV. And they'll just say, so can you go to your computer? Yeah, hang on a second. It's in the other room. 5 minutes. Are you there? Hang on. You need me to turn it on too? Okay. So I've done all these different things. One time I was like,
how's your day?
On, and it ended up being an abacus. I threw that. One time he's like, well, what kind of computer is it? It's a Commodore 64. You know, I mean, I just do all these things. So the last one, one of the ways they could tell you which system they need is the configuration of your buttons, where the control button is. Because they always ask, where is your control button? And I'm like, control?
Oh, it's
there's
right
no
here.
Control button. They're like, CRTL control or whatever. So I go, I don't know. It's I go through the whole process. And I couldn't find the control button for like 5 minutes.
Is it the one that says shift on it?
Right. I said that. And then I ended up going, he goes, well, where is this? And I go, well, the letters are kind of worn off there a little bit. So finally I go, after like 10 minutes of keeping him on, I go, oh, here it is. It's next to the Americans are not as dumb as you think button. And he goes,
I am not familiar with that button.
F you, American.
Oh.
But he busted it out like that. F bomb. And I go,
gotcha.
Winner.
Chicken dinner.
Have a good day, sir. That's 10 minutes of people you're not going to be bothering. So I need to start recording these. So find me the app.
Yeah. You want me to show you right now?
The best one is the carpet. You ever get the carpet cleaner? Ask him if it gets out blood. I mean, a lot of blood.
Remember when Tom Mabe did those?
Yes.
Revenge of the Telemarketers?
His best was, no, I mean, I'm like, a lot of blood.
I mean, a lot.
A
I don't mean
lot
a couple drops.
Blood.
I mean, like, pools of it.
Yeah.
Can you pools get that? Of it.
Can you hold on a second?
How soon could you be here? Can you be here in the next 10 minutes?
Yes, the manager. You say you got a lot of blood. Sir, is everything okay?
And when you clean, does it also, like, clean it up so it won't, luminol won't detect it?
What about smell? Does it get the smell of, let's say, decomposition?
Does that get like rotting flesh? Can you do that?
Like an animal wandered in. And what if it? Just
yeah, let's say that.
There? Yeah,
let's go with that story.
It's so good.
But I get so many of them, and I've tried to stop it, so I might as well get some sort of benefit. Mm-hmm. Let's all just enjoy me mocking the foreigners, as they call me. That's it. So, what's the app then? You got it?
Yeah. So remember, I told you,
Cal's second app of the week.
Anchor. Okay. So there's Anchor. And you've got your options down here. See where it says interview? Tap interview.
Okay, I'm going to call you right now.
And then it says, only thing here is that I don't know if you can activate this in the middle of a call, but you can call out.
Wasn't that the whole point?
Go ahead, call me.
That was really the whole point of this, wasn't it?
Well,
wait a minute, what's it called?
Anchor.
Anchor?
A-N-C-H-O-R.
You want me to call you?
Go ahead, call me.
What's your number? I don't have your number.
1-900. All right, I'm answering your call right now.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on speaker.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Cal?
I hear you, yeah.
Okay, I'm on the phone.
Let me see if I can switch to the app and record.
Let's see if it works here, because this is gold, baby.
This will be gold, Jerry.
Where am I hearing that?
It's from my phone.
Yes, I got that now.
All right, what do you got? What do you record? Is it working?
This is no, you can't do it in the middle of a call.
For those of you listening at home, Cal is...
Isn't the whole point of it?
Yeah, no. I could dial out.
Go in front of your computer. Go in front of your computer, Mr. Cal.
That's a great idea.
Where's the control button?
You could call the telemarketers and record them.
Okay, so I was right that it doesn't exist.
No, not in the way that you want it to.
Hey, Kirk, I remember a few minutes ago when I said this and I was given this pie feature an app. There was the word several popped up, didn't it?
I actually know of one.
You know what you could do? You could ask the telemarketer for his phone call.
And can I call you back? Because I got to dial something
up. I'm
calling
you right now.
Wait a minute. Am I getting one right here?
No.
Oh, this has got to be. Hang on. Hello?
Yes, hello. This is Bob. Can you hear me? I can't hear what that says.
You do?
Hang on.
Yeah. You can't hear what that says. What does it say?
It'll probably repeat itself. Let's see.
If you're ready to start recording, press 1.
It prompts you that you're about to be recorded.
See?
Okay, it doesn't work the way we thought it did.
I actually know of one, but you have to pay for it.
But it works. What's it called?
It's called Tap a Call.
Kirk's app of the week, Kirk!
Yes, you have to pay. It's kind of expensive, though, so I did.
And you can do it in the middle of a call?
Yeah, you tell them if you're in the middle of a call, you can say, all right, I'm going to record.
Oh, you got to let them know, though.
No, I mean, you don't have to, but I just let them know, because I did it for, projects in school and stuff like that, and I just, wanted them to.
But you could do it seamlessly.
You could do it without them knowing, for sure.
So, in the middle of it, as I'm like, I'll go to my computer, I just hit the button, and we're good.
Yeah.
And I call and I set this app up ahead of time. It's an app?
Yeah, you can do it at any time. You can do it during the call. You can do it.
Well, how much is the price? Because it might be worth it.
I think it's like $10.
Yeah, like a month or just one download?
Just down payment.
Let's see.
That's not bad. Look it up. We're going to look it up. Kirk.
Tap a call.
I think Kirk just got a new job. I got demoted here. It's not called Anchor, though?
No.
You're going to be recorded, sir. Okay.
Cal, could you move over to the other chair?
It is $10.
Kirk just moved up a chair. I think that's what's happening here. Good job, Kirk. The ladder. Nicely done. All right. We'll see if it works. It sounds like a good product.
It's a free version,
because I'll end up try it or whatever. Hey, I got to tell you about Earthwater, another great product. It's water, but it's water that also has those trace minerals that you're probably not getting in the rest of your life. Because unless you are eating perfectly, and unless you are eating foods that are going to give you those trace minerals, you are the deficient of those minerals. And if you do eat healthy and you do have those, you're going to end up being better off. Your body is going to have more energy. Your immune system will likely be stronger. If you'd have the energy water with these 70 trace minerals, your stress level is going to go down. Your memory and focus is going to be better. It can help remove toxins from your body, maintain healthy skin, nail, and hair. It can do all that stuff for you. And don't you want that in your life? I mean, in today's world, any way that you could get an edge, that's going to be great.
Yep, absolutely.
It's awesome. You can order Earthwater today. Just go to earthwater.com/theblaze. Earthwater.com/theblaze. And if you use the promo code theblaze, you're going to get 10% off. They're already discounted prices. We've been drinking it around here. Chris ordered a bunch even before they started advertising. I drink it. The whole crew does. My wife tried it, loved it. It's funny. It's hard to say, oh, people love it. Mm-hmm. It's water.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, it tastes great. It tastes like water.
Yeah. And people will say, what are you drinking?
Right. It's black. It's water. How's it taste? It tastes like water. Yeah, but I mean with the black and the whatever.
Like water.
So it's not so much the taste. The taste is just clean, clear water. The flavor, clean, clear water. But what you're getting is those extra 70 trace minerals. It's earth water. Yes. And for you smart asses online who said it's better than Mars water, and here on Earth, we just call it water. It's just the company's name. Remember, everything on the internet is a challenge, especially with our listeners. If I put stuff out there, they're like, okay, it's Earth Water. Go to earthwater.com/theblaze and use promo code theblaze for 10% off.
This is The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Okay, Brad, am I allowed to mention it? What we just...
I don't think so yet. I don't think so.
I can't let the cat romp out of the bag.
Not yet. I'm having trouble
containing it myself.
Okay. So I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to say what it is.
No.
I'm just...
No, because here's the thing. You peel it, and then it comes off. There's no way you could just say, well, I saw something.
Well, now I got to say just in general.
You notice Chris is turning into stew?
Chris Cruz is the voice of reason here. Yeah. How horrible is that? I'm just going to say there's something in the building here.
Okay, tell me in the ear what you're about to say, because then I need to check.
I'm going to say there's something in the building here that is particularly interesting.
Okay. It's the coolest thing in the building.
That gal that just arrived yesterday. And
that's way too much.
It's Glenn's.
Way too much.
And Cal was excited.
Way too
much. That's all I'm going to say. And
it's
we filmed
way too
it.
Too much.
I can't.
I didn't say what it is. It
but
could
you
be
said
anything.
Way too much.
It could be what it is, or it could be a pizza.
Yeah. I can't believe I got
that. Cal does not get excited for a pizza. We said Cal. We didn't say Doc.
I got to touch it.
Well, you get to touch it anytime you want.
It's gonna. You know, I may be.
Not sure that's legal.
It was a lot bigger than I thought it was.
We
too.
Filmed it, and if we get the A-OK from the big guy today, we'll put it up on the channel. TheBlaze.com.
Yeah.
If the channel works.
If the channel works, because there's been some trouble with that, too. I think that's stage two talk. Just so you know, I think that's stage two talk.
I couldn't resist.
It's accurate stage two, but stage two talk, nevertheless.
I tried.
Okay, we should run through those stages at some point, too, so people understand. But hopefully it'll be up on our channel later today. Glenn should be in wandering about, and we can ask him in a couple minutes.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.
Sense and comedy. This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
So I casually made a reference to stages last half hour. Glenn has talked a little bit about one of the books that he had asked us to read. Which did we tweet out a link of a list of those yesterday? One of the books is called Tribal Leadership by Dave Logan, a professor, I believe, at USC, who has this whole concept that and has the science to back it up. It's actually pretty cool. That we are, as human beings, in tribe, that fish school, birds flock, and human beings tribe. And we have these different groups. We have a personal tribe and then a professional in our work. And when you understand these, it is going to help you get a little bit better in life and, you know, accomplish more things. And it, like I said, it's backed up in science. Most of the it's a business book, but it's a little of a self-help book, too. But most books like that are all philosophy.
Right.
Not very practical. This is actually practical. Mm-hmm. Gives some definitive things you can do. And it's really a pretty good book. So the five stages, the first one, stage one, is literally the stage of prisons and gangs. Mm-hmm. If they had a label for it, it would be life sucks. That it represents like 2% of the population. And it's people who will even commit crimes that it's just life sucks. Everything's bad. Yeah. The next stage is stage two. My life sucks. Which is like, life is good for a lot of people, but how come I don't have, and how come I don't? And there's a whole, you know, philosophy that goes with it.
I've been there.
That's about 25% of people. And by the way, you could be primarily one stage, but have a stage 2 day, that type of thing. Stage three, and that's about 25% of people. Stage three is about 48, 49% of the people. That's where most of us are, is my life's good, yours sucks.
Yeah.
And that would be, hey, I'm at work. I'm just out there doing my job or whatever. But you people that I work with or whatever, you don't get it. You people, you know, you're not. You're idiots. I'm just going to go and do whatever, that type of thing. That's where most of us are. Stage four is our life is great. And that means we're all in it together. Everybody in your tribe's focused. It's not selfish. It's not about me. It's we have a greater goal. And that's about 20-some percent, I think it is. And then the last stage is stage five, which is where everyone aspires to be, just a couple percentage of the people. It's stage four people who even... Oh, by the way, stage four is our life suck. Our life's great. They suck, meaning you have competition. The competition could be another business. It could, but you're all in together against that. It could be doctors fighting cancer as their competition. We've had a recent competitor here, but regardless. Stage five, you peek up into that and... You have no more competitors. You're all in it to just accomplish amazing things for humanity, whatever. So
that's where things like the Mac, Macintosh computer came from.
Right, from
all these big inventions.
Where it's not about just making money and whatever. Right. So it's really an interesting thing. So Brad had a little stage two talk there. He was a little critical.
I apologize.
No, it's no worries. We're all there. You're just having a stage two moment.
Yeah, I do laugh.
How dare you?
We've scoured news agencies from around the world to find the most profound headlines.
By the way, we could now change this to stage one headlines.
No kidding.
Because headlines are primarily stage oneers.
Yeah.
Primarily.
By the way, hi to everybody on Facebook.
Hey, F-Book, what's up?
Yeah. It's National Fried Chicken Day.
Ooh.
Yeah,
ooh,
that's some stage five talk there.
Like, you know, it was Scottish immigrants who brought that to the...
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
That wasn't invented in the Deep South
by
they brought it to Aunt Jemima or something?
Let me just say, thank God we picked that and not haggis.
No kidding.
You can have the haggis or you can have the fried chicken.
It will also explain why Jeffy smells the way he does when he comes in.
I love fried chicken.
Breaking news.
I'm gonna go get some.
Trump speechified in Poland this morning. The one key point I took away, NATO dues are being paid by the countries delinquent on their dues.
So he's saying that they're doing it now.
Yeah, they're doing it.
Okay, one of two things. Either they're not doing it and he's saying it to make it look like he had a victory. Right. I don't have the stats that they're paying. Or his focus on criticizing NATO got them to chip in a little bit more, which would be good. Interesting about NATO is Turkey is a NATO ally. NATO being the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, whose primary goal was to stop the USSR during the Cold War. And Article 5 is the most important one that says, we are all in this together. You attack one NATO country, all of the other ones must, by treaty, join the war against whoever attacked them.
Mm-hmm.
So if Turkey's no longer in it, or if they're siding up with Russia in that now... we got some problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's an interesting takeaway. You're right.
We'll see how things unfold. In a developing story, there is a concert in Sweden. It's called Bravalla.
Bravalla.
Oh, yeah. Who hasn't gone to Bravalla and come away with
Bravalla Palooza was the one. I loved that.
I went to Bravalla in 92.
Well, it seems...
That's before it got all commercial.
Yeah.
Remember when they all sold out?
It was still pure.
That's
right. Yeah, exactly. Well, they've canceled next year's Bravalla concert. Because of dozens of sexual assaults at this year's festival, they're going to host a man-free rock music festival next year in Sweden.
Well, and I think they said, based on that, they're just going to change the name. There'll still be the sexual assaults. They're just going to call it the Fire Festival. Hey-o!
Where's the bell?
I was bell-less there for a moment.
And again, the underlying, and this is, listen to this quote. Certain men apparently cannot behave. It's a shame. We've therefore decided to cancel Bravalla 2018. This is all about the immigrants in Sweden.
Oh, snap. You're right.
That's what it's all about.
But you know what? Then have the balls to say it and don't say it's about the men.
Yeah.
Say it's about bad. You're punishing the entire class because of the actions of a few.
Mm-hmm.
If there's a couple of douchebag guys out there, fine. Then ban them or the immigrants if you do it. It's not all men.
Yeah. Back in the 90s, didn't they do Liz Phair? That was an all-girl.
Yeah.
No, dudes could go.
I thought that was a girl, though. That's
they didn't
fair.
Ban no, men from it. It was just dudes knew if they were there, they would be mocked.
Well, and one radio personality in Sweden said that she posed a hypothetical. A festival where women would be free to enjoy themselves without fear of men's foul behavior.
Okay, wait. Yes, but what are you going to do about the other women?
Right, that's my point, too. And how about the men who identify as women? Mm-hmm.
Here's a dirty little secret. I'm going to go ahead and say this because most people don't bring this up. Guys can get together and generally hang out together. You will have incidents at a time. Somebody being a douche, they get a smackdown and it goes back because guys understand. It's like Lord of the Flies, right?
Yeah.
Lord of the guys. That's what you get together. Guys don't act douchey or the crowd gives them the beat down. That's your tribe. And everybody goes back to normal. But we can hang out without all the backbiting. women get together without the dudes, you still have trouble because... Do you see what she's wearing today? And you think that with him, you know what she said to Sarah, and then last Tuesday, Sarah said, how come they all hate me? Right? This is...
Yep.
This is what happens.
Yep.
Oh, that's going to be a swell concert.
Yep.
That's going to be fabulous. There Will it be all female performers?
that doesn't say, but that would be interesting.
Good luck. I wouldn't go 100 miles close
to that. I
don't know.
I may identify as a female and just hang out, so to speak.
If I could have earplugs.
Right.
Okay, possibly.
Go to a concert with earplugs?
So I don't hear them.
Right.
So I don't hear the blah, blah, blah that Sarah said, and how come Tuesdays you've been in the pee? My mom hates me.
If you go to Cancun, don't pee in the lagoon. A guy learned that the hard way. An alligator jumped up and bit him off. And when I say bit him,
whoa!
Yeah,
you mean
no? His arm.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's okay.
He lost an arm.
He's got another one. The other thing he doesn't.
So Cancun. Who knew?
So Mr. Johnson is okay.
It's yes, exactly. He was pulled into the water. It says crocodile, but that has to be an alligator in Cancun, right?
In Mexico?
Yeah. Those are still alligators. In Australia, they're on the other side of the world, they're crocodiles, right?
I don't think it has anything to do with where. I mean, it's about the environment, not like.
But
not
I didn't think. I thought they were alligators here. I don't know. Anyway.
It's not just North American alligators.
Whatever they are,
crocodiles,
they will bite you
parts of the world.
And eat you. And that's
you know, I feel. I think Kirk would likely know the answer to that. Are there alligators or crocodiles in Mexico or both?
Both.
Okay, see, there it is. Kirk has spoken.
What? They allow them to mix?
The mustache has spoken.
Kirk, yeah.
The guy's an American. He remains in unknown condition at a Mexican hospital. I'm guessing he's just thankful. Yeah. Mm. In another story.
Wait. What was that? His condition remains unknown.
Unknown.
He is
at
in
a Mexican hospital.
Yeah. Okay, condition is horrible. He's in a Mexican hospital.
Yes, but Mr.
Johnson's
okay.
The only thing worse than a
Mexican
hospital is a Mexican prison.
Right.
Actually, I think they're about the same.
About the same.
Holy moly,
He's just happy.
Thank God I'm safe. They're taking me to the Mexican hospital. The only thing worse than that is a UK hospital. Thank God they're taking me to the National Health System hospital in
could have gone to Canada.
London, right.
Eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you could be in Canada.
No, not a Mexican hospital. Well, thank God I'm not in Canada.
Right.
I'm not in a Canadian hospital.
In another bizarre moment, a Mexican mayor married a crocodile to bring good luck to local fishermen. Yep.
Did they? I hate to be the one who asks.
Yeah.
I feel like, okay, I'll do it. Did they consummate the marriage? That's
a good question.
And did he lose an appendage?
Apparently, the female crocodile known as the princess was baptized on Thursday, then dressed in a custom...
In a custom what?
In a custom.
There's a custom for this? There's
two?
I tweeted out the picture. They put this thing in a wedding dress.
Is it like a custom, like a human just, wedding dress?
Yeah,
oh, I think it's a customary.
Veil.
Can you imagine the drunk that stumbles across the wedding and doesn't realize that it's actually a crocodile and tries to say something nice about the bride? No, you look beautiful. Oh my God. She looks great. I'm just glad somebody took her out of service for the rest of us.
To answer your question, there are crocodiles in Central and South America.
I'll be back.
I know. Kirk had spoken. Would you?
You didn't touch the mustache?
I'm sorry. I didn't trust
the mustache.
I told you. Ask Kirk. Everyone knows.
All right, guys. You will thank me after I tell you about this because, I'll just say I tried it once and it doesn't work. Ejaculating 21 times a month could reduce the risk of prostate cancer, suggests new research.
God, I hate to be the one to ask this, but I feel like a lot of people mm-hmm. would. All right, I'll ask. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mention the method. It just says as long as you hit 21, you're good.
Right. It doesn't matter. It's
honey,
just the
it's
exercise.
For my health.
It's and
don't
I like
you want
I said.
Me to honey, not have prostate
see,
cancer.
See, and Cal's got the Reddit. Please tweet out a link to this one, Brad.
Yep.
It's at the Blaze Brad. Guys, this is one of those ones you print off, shrink down, and put in your wallet.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you fold it up, put it in your wallet, and there will come a time you're going to have this discussion with your wife, and you go, don't you care about my health?
I tried
and you just throw that out there.
Do you want me to get prostate cancer?
Right, exactly.
You need to have sex 21 times a month. I'm sorry.
Right, this is going to save you a lot of headaches. By the way, I think because it doesn't say how, the method, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah.
Chris Cruz is in trouble.
Yes, big time.
Chris Cruz in a lot of trouble. There.
I did try that with the wife once. Mm-hmm. We're divorced. Just so you know.
I feel bad about the Going back to that guy with the crocodile story now.
21 times.
All right. Perhaps we move on.
All right. Down to Florida. And who hasn't thought about this? Contractors, of course, down there, they get a bad rep because a lot of them are jackholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. They take your money. They promise you the job will be done in 2 weeks. They disappear for a month. I know.
When's it going to be done?
Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks.
Yeah. And then 6 months later, it's still
when's
not
it
going
to be done? 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's the same answer every time. One Florida contractor pissed off so many people. His only solution for escaping the trouble he'd caused was to fake his own death.
Wow.
He let it be known that he died in a car crash, then hid in his house for weeks. Unfortunately for him, really pissed off a former client, had the patience of a saint, sat outside his house, literally for weeks, long enough to see him finally emerge and get into his truck.
Oh, wow. Good for
it
him.
Almost
I knew
worked.
You weren't dead.
Yeah, right? You're going to fake your own death. You have to be patient.
Die. Give me one more. Wrap this thing up.
Oh, and who hasn't done this? It was actually a guy in Massachusetts. He was pulled over for having, he was in the HOV lane. You know, you have to have two or more people. So what did he have in the seat next to him?
Dummy.
Yep. They issued him a citation, violation of the HOV lane and failure to stop for a police officer because apparently he realized when he was getting pulled over.
What did he have in it?
Yeah, just a dummy blow up.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice.
The police had a message for everyone. Please remember the HOV lane is for two or more actual human beings.
Here's the thing. There are people out there that think he was just trying to get away with driving the HOV lane. I think that was his cover for having a blow-up doll.
Uh-huh.
That was his girlfriend, Melinda.
Yes. Right. The HOV lane everywhere. Violation uh-huh. of ticket may have been the better
and he could probably fight
excuse.
It in court, too.
Yeah.
What do you mean I can't have this is my real girlfriend.
Yeah.
Are you calling her a dummy?
Right.
You're trying to take away my rights as a human being?
Yeah.
All right, one more. One more.
Did you hear about the great white shark that leapt into the Australian fisherman's boat?
No.
Dove in.
That's called my nightmare.
73-year-old fisherman. He's in there. He's actually fishing out in the in Australia. He's calm waters, same spot he'd been dropping the line 50 years. 7 foot long, 440-pound great white jumped into his boat.
This is why I'm convinced everything in Australia wants to kill you.
It says he just saw a blur coming from the side of his eye. It hit him in the forearm, spun him around, knocked him off his feet. He gets up. There's a shark laying in his boat.
Wow. That's amazing.
And he lived to tell
the story. Did he take a picture naked laying on the shark?
I believe so. And the man's name was Jeffy.
Okay, I was saying that. All right, get a break and back with more on this, The Morning Blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network. Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
All right, do we still have the hashtag smart people don't say? Hashtag smart people don't say. We've been asking that question this morning as well.
Two scoops of Covfefe tweeted hashtag smart people don't say. I stand here as a freed slave because this Congress came together.
Let's see. Hashtag smart people don't say, take me to the Mexican hospital.
Right.
unless it's a smart person in Canada.
Right.
And then they're like, something Mexican hospital, better than a Canadian hospital. Done. Take me to the Mexican hospital. No, I'll go. It's fine. Smart people don't say, Kanye for president 2020. Oof. Wow. Smart people don't say, hey, at Cal79, can you find me an app to blank? Fill in the blank.
That's just...
By the way,
that's just
the one Kirk gave us? No, you still got to dial a third one. Back to my original, I don't think the app exists. Where you can just record people who call you right on the fly. You can just hit a button. Hashtag smart people don't say... from the Steve42, Scalise Shooter was radicalized by the Constitution. I think I'll snort these bath salts from Larky Farkin. The Cambridge police acted stupidly from two scoops of Covfefe. To fight fascism, we must become fascists from Cincy Browncoat. That's a really solid one. Do you realize how ridiculous that is from the The Fobs, the...
What?
What's the one group out there?
Firetruck, firecracker. sounds like...
Fidget like, spinner.
Foolish.
Never mind.
French fries. Flung.
Gonna move on. You guys are...
Kool-Aid cool. with a C tweeted.
Two syllables.
Smart people don't say, that Caitlyn Jenner is a good-looking woman. Although, I gotta tell you.
You think she's a good-looking woman?
I mean, if I didn't constantly have the image of Bruce Jenner every time I looked... But no, she's not. She doesn't make a bad looking woman.
Pass.
maybe I'm weird.
No, I'm trying to. How not bad? You said not a bad looking woman. 1 to 10 it for me.
6.5, 7.
Wow.
Maybe. I mean, better than average. There's a lot of ugly people out
I'm
there.
I'm trying to take the age thing out of it. Okay, we've taken the used to be a man thing out of it.
Right.
Literally. We'll just, okay, forget about that. So just imagine she's a woman, judge her with other women. I got to take the age thing out then, too, because she not that young.
No.
Okay, so take
obviously
that
had
out.
Some work done.
A lot of work.
Yeah.
Quite a bit of work. I still, I don't know.
I'm telling you.
These things throwing me off. I don't know.
Of course, I'm a little weird. I did a story years ago for TNN, and it was on this woman was 84 years old, and I thought she was smoking hot. And I was like 25.
How do you feel about the Nancy Pelosi?
No.
So Brad's mainly not into cougars, he's into Pelosi. Corpses.
Is that immoral?
Brad's into cougars. Really, really old cougars.
They're slower. Have you know? You don't have to run very fast to catch them.
Wow.
This is funny.
He's not into cougars. He's into saber-toothed tigers. Because they're extinct. What was that? There's a who?
Kofefe and Donuts tweeted, Bravala Festival 2018 on the Isle of Lesbos.
Oh, there it is. That's where they're going to launch the whole thing.
Really? 84? Wow.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
It was 15 years ago this week that I found myself sitting alone in a darkened neonatal intensive care unit, Cleveland Clinic Hospital in Cleveland, Ohio. My son had been born days before, and I remember feeling at the time what felt like the weight of the world. He had been born so premature, 8 weeks or so, that we were worried about complications. He was so small, his arms were about the size of my pinky, and his foot was smaller than my thumb. The doctor came in and said, Mr. Thompson, we're going to have to put a PICC line into his heart. It's a tube they put all the way in, and they do it via his arm. His arm is the size of my pinky. And they go in through the veins in your arm, meaning the veins were the size of a hair.
Yeah.
And they had something smaller that they would have to put in there. And they told us the threat of things like brain bleeds and everything else. And I'm just helpless. Mm-hmm. Here I am, a strong, self-driven, I don't need anybody's help person. I can take care of it myself. I don't like help. And I couldn't do anything to help my child. And I sat alone, just not knowing what to do.
The worst feeling.
It's horrible. Now, my son is 15. He turned 15 days ago. And he's strong and healthy and has no problems. Everything's great. It worked out wonderful. So I really, at the time, didn't have the weight that I felt I did. I didn't. He was going to be okay.
Yeah, but you didn't know that.
I didn't know it. I had a realization as I sat there. I mean, I just welling up in tears. I just don't know what to do. I can't do. What am I supposed to do here? And I looked across the unit and recognized one of the other children that was in there. He was part of triplets who were born at like 24 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, Cal knows. The magic number is about 28 where you don't have as many complications.
Right.
His two brothers died within days. One of them died right off. The second one, the parents had to make the decision.
Ugh.
The doctor came in and told them that we need you to make a decision here. We need you to make a decision. And they put the parents.
A decision no parent wants to make.
Right. They put the parents alone in the room for as long as they wanted, and they made the decision.
Right.
And I looked over and saw that they had the one left and what they were going through, and I was like, I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I say this because this came up, and I was reliving this, not just because it was 15 years ago and my son just had a birthday, but because of Charlie Gard. This is the baby that, unfortunately, the UK has said the parents have no rights to. Joining me now is Liberty McCarter from The Stream. Hey, Liberty, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me today.
No, thanks for coming on to discuss this Charlie Gard story. What is the latest? Where are we at with this? And can you give a little more of the backstory?
Sure. So Charlie Gard is a baby in the UK. He just turned 11 months old, and he has a very rare condition that makes him unable to move or breathe on his own. But there's some experimental treatment in the U.S., and doctors have actually offered to take Charlie in for free, and Charlie's parents have raised over $1 million of their own funds to take him over there. But for the last several months, court after court in the UK has denied them the right all the way up to the European Court of Human Rights to take him anywhere. Most recently, you had the Vatican Children's Hospital saying, hey, you know, UK, we will take Charlie, we will care for him. They said no. British Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson said, no, we're going to stick with the court's decision. Charlie has to stay here and he has to be taken off life support. So that was just a couple days ago. Most recently, you know, President Donald Trump has tweeted his support of Charlie Gard, and apparently his administration has been talking with Charlie's family. And the hospital still says that he has to be taken off life support, and yet they won't even let him go home to die with his parents. So they're just kind of stuck there at the hospital waiting. And so that's kind of what's going on right now.
All right. So here's the thing, Liberty. What am I missing here? If the only concern about experimental treatment is not whether or not, or should be, not whether or not the parents can afford it. If it's all done, it's just, what's the decision by the parents? The court should have nothing to do with this. They've got the funds. It's out there. That's it. It's over. It should be. Why are the courts even involved in this?
You know, it's crazy. The doctors don't think that this treatment will be effective. They feel like Charlie may suffer more.
Irrelevant. And I'm not yelling at you. I'm just saying, it's irrelevant. It's none of your business. It's the parents, right? Or should be.
Well, exactly. And I mean, you know, obviously you just told your own story. Sometimes things look bleak, and there are lots of times that doctors are wrong. So if you have another doctor, and it's not even like they're trying to do some, you know, crazy off-the-wall treatment outside the medical community. They want to go to another doctor who has a theory that he can really help Charlie. So it's baffling and it's disturbing, and it makes you wonder, you know, what else will the government say in the future? You know, who else will they tell? Your life isn't worth saving either. You have to be taken off life support despite your family's wishes.
See, here's the crazy. If they said, well, parents, there's a 14% chance if you don't do this and we just continue, he'll live and survive and whatever. But if he's going to die. He will die. This is last chance. Hail Mary pass. Experimental treatment, great. As a parent, hell, as a gambler, as a person going through your own life, when you say, it will absolutely not work this other way, well, I might as well give it a shot at this thing. Yeah, it probably won't work, but what the hell? Yeah. Am I missing something?
I'd have gotten arrested at this point if I was the father. Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do one better. You would have gotten arrested, and your buddy Doc would have been arrested, and your buddy Brad and Chris, because we would have been with you there.
Mm-hmm. I would have
melted damn down
like Ocean's 11 style heist. All right, guys, how Without am I getting question. My son out of the country? What do we got?
Okay. You gave it a lot more thought than I, because I would have kicked the door open and I would have taken the baby out.
Yeah.
Seriously, I just.
But is the baby on machines right now?
Probably.
And that's the problem, is how do you transport an infant like that when you have to have all these machines to keep him going?
That's a good point.
I mean, that's
Liberty.
Problem.
I have a theory here. I have a theory that the reason the doctors are fighting so hard against this, because there's no common sense. Just from a perspective, as we laid out, that there is no other option. You might as well try something experimental. I have a theory that the reason the doctors are fighting this so hard is because in the UK, with their national health system, they must protect their regime. That they have to protect themselves. As soon as they would give in on something like this, they are less significant and they need that power. Do you think that has some merit? I'm sorry, one more time, you cut out there. What was that?
Oh, yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, if Charlie's parents are able, by some miracle, to take him to the United States or somewhere where he can get this treatment and it works, I mean, you already have international support and pressure from the Pope and our president and millions of people watching this case now already on Charlie's side. And so imagine if it worked, that would make a lot of people question this, you know, government-run healthcare that is basically telling a boy that's not even a year old that, you know, he doesn't have the right to live or to even try to live anymore. So I think it's already making people question and have doubts. And so I definitely think they have a regime to protect.
So what's left now? Is there any recourse or is it over?
First of all, you have a lot of people praying. I know there was a vigil in D.C. at the British Embassy last night for Charlie. Apparently, you know, from the reports that I've been reading, and I keep checking for updates, the administration is still in contact. The Trump administration is in contact with the family. I think they're trying to arrange a private meeting with Theresa May.
Whoops, wait a minute. They're cutting out just a little bit. We're talking with Liberty McCarter from the stream. Liberty, the picture that you have on your story at your website of the parents that goes along with this story is an amazing picture. The parents walking hand in hand. I know that look. Like I said, the weight of the world. You have a child you cannot help. The look of anger, frustration. The dad with the furrowed brow, hand down, hand in hand with the mom who is completely lost, and they're walking down the street, and in his jacket pocket, a little toy monkey, a little stuffed. That's an amazing picture. Mm-hmm. That says it all.
Yeah, I think you have to just commend these parents. I mean, the mother, she's the one that's been contacting the Vatican, and they've been contacting other world leaders because their own country won't help them, and they are fighting as hard as they can for Charlie. So all the best to them. I mean, I can't imagine what they've been through, but they're not giving up. And every day that Charlie's still alive, you know, there's hope that something will happen. We'll have a development, and there's a lot of people on his side right now. So we'll see.
All right, Liberty. I'm going to go ahead and tweet out a link to your story because I want people to see this picture as well. But thanks so much for the update. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
Liberty McCarter, staff writer for the stream with the story. This is powerful.
All right. Playing devil's advocate for just a second, could the UK doctors be saying, if they do take the Hippocratic Oath, which I guess there's some question whether or not doctors still do that, but first, do no harm. Could they be saying, by moving this infant, we are causing harm?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the point is, what is the harm? I know we're splitting hairs here, but really, what is the harm? Okay, so you're going to take him off, and the doctors want to take him off life support, right? I mean, that's part of this. So you take him off.
What do you do? I mean, I don't know, in the UK, can they do that without the parents' approval? They can take him off.
Yeah, that's part of the court ruling. They can.
So they have control over whether he lives or not.
And by the way, there have been not unsimilar stories to this in America where people have fought. The doctors, the hospitals have fought against parents' wishes. Not exactly like this, but close enough. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It is a slippery slope if you take the power out of the hands of parents. I understand the potential bad that can happen. I get it. Sometimes parents and people make poor choices. But the slippery slope, as soon as you take the power, it's saying you can't punish your child by spanking them. Mm-hmm. Okay, I get it. You know what happens? Parents become abusers at times. Bad things happen. But there is a far greater bad. And the far greater bad is the government controlling, because that leads to North Korea, where we're all being treated as Charlie Gard or worse. That's where you're at with it.
That's the problem. There's no clear cut answer because you're right. There are stupid parents.
The good news or the opportunity we have here is for us to talk about this and explain to people, maybe even in the UK, that have been brainwashed by this horrible system, that there is another way. To explain, like I said, the slippery slope, first of all, and then second of all, there is a better way. The problem is, even here in America, we have people who do not understand that, unfortunately, until Jesus comes back, we do not have the ability to get everything perfect. We have to say, this is the best system we have. Unfortunately, there will be failures of that system. But when you try to muck it up, you end up on that slippery slope, which creates far more bad. Hey, if you haven't heard about Relief Factor, try it yet, please do. Relief Factor was designed. The concept of it was, let's find a way to deal with inflammation and thereby take away pain in body, because most pain in your body has to do with inflammation.
Yep.
It has worked for me. It's worked for Brad. It's worked for all kinds of people. Listen, it has not worked for everybody. There are some people who go, you know what? I just didn't get the effects. But for most people that we've come into contact with, well, in the 90 percentile, mm-hmm. it does work. And it's $20, $19.95 to try it.
And here's the funny thing. When people say it didn't work, the number one cause for it not working.
I tried it for 20 minutes.
Right. They did not take it according to the instructions.
Yeah, it's usually 7 to 10 days.
Yeah, and you have to follow the instructions as the number one reason.
7 to 10 days. You get mine for my static, it was 4 to 5 days. Both times I tried it like that and had the issues. Try it yourself. Again, it's $19.95. If you're somebody who's suffered with pain over and over for years and years, you know somebody has, it's certainly worth the $19.95 to roll the dice to see if you're one of the, for people that I've come in contact, 90-some percentile that it's worked for. All you have to do is go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384 for Relief Factor.
The next generation of talk radio.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network.
Talking off the air, and it's funny to think what your reaction would be. I've tried to explain to people my values and what I believe and everything I am. I can boil down to one thought, emotion, feeling, idea. I'm aside from my faith and all that. If I, what do you believe? What's at the core of all that you believe and who you are? And mine is freedom. And we use that word a lot, but I mean self-determination. You decide what's right for you. Everything. And when I hear stories like this, I honestly, my fingers tingle because I can feel the adrenaline kicking in my body. it's that troubling to me. So if somebody did this to me, how would I react? I'm not kidding. I'd be kicking the door of the hospital in. I would be crazed. And if for some moment, if for some reason my family was able to get a hold of me and my voice, listen to me, you're going to do this.
You're going to end up in prison.
You're going to end up in prison, and they're still going to... They're still going to... Yeah. If she got through to me where I paused a moment, and I know this is not right, I would then say, fine, I will... And I'm not talking about terrorize the hospital, blow them down, but I would see that place shut down, or I would seek my revenge by shutting it down somehow. Mm-hmm. That is not right. It's not right to be vengeful, but I know that's all I would have left in my morning. That's it. That's...
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Over the weekend, Chris posted on my Facebook page a video of Robin Williams that I had never seen before. I'm shocked that in all my circles, I don't remember this at all. It's a video of Robin Williams from the early 80s doing a little stand-up routine where he is the American flag. He comes out, he has an American flag, like, shirt on, whatever.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, and he's speaking as if he is the American flag. He's Old Glory, and he does a bunch of puns. Say, can you see, you know, and just, and it's really interesting. I was like, wow, I didn't know that. People loved it. They went crazy for it. It's, I don't know, close to
a million views. Well, 3 million reach, and then close to a million views right now.
See if you can. Do you remember the company that or the people that put it together?
PWAF.
Yeah, look it up and just I want to check. So when I first saw it, I just saw a quick glance at the screen to see where it was filmed because it looked like it might have been a political convention.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, no, it doesn't say political convention. Oh, I moved on. So I asked Chris about it. I go, who put that out? And he mentions the organization. And this is the reason I asked, because although he seems non-political, even a little to the right about defending the flag and, you know, certain things, it's like, yeah, I got an odd feeling. I went back and watched, and the organization that put it on is crazy progressive group.
Really?
And at the bottom, it's produced by or something, Norman Lear. Do you know who Norman Lear is?
The name sounds familiar.
Norman Lear was a television executive who produced like All in the Family and some of these early or 70s into the 80s sitcoms.
Uh-huh.
But they're all progressive. Like even Archie Bunker, there are conservatives who go, they identify with part of Archie Bunker, you know, some of his conservative beliefs. But it was to mock.
It wasn't to actual support. Right.
So I'm torn. I'm like, this is really interesting, but it's this crazy progressive agenda.
What he says, though, doesn't sound mocking or...
No, that's what's bizarre. So have we changed that much? What's going on here? I mean, it's
funny you say that because this is what I'm thinking from this. I take it all the way of that back then we were so good that we did not care of your political belief. We
about just loved, certain things.
Yeah, we just loved the America and American flag and what we stood for because everybody's cheering on and all this stuff. And then now it's like, huh.
But I just had a feeling. I'm like, first of all, it's Robin Williams. It's not him, but it's Hollywood. It's right. Entertainment industry. Joining me now is Aaron Walker, First Amendment lawyer. How are you, sir?
Pretty good this morning, sir.
So, Aaron, roughly how old are you? You have to give specifics. You don't want to.
I'm in my mid-40s.
Okay. So you remember a little of those days of 80s and the Robin Williams. I don't know if you heard us talking about this video, but yeah. Have we changed that much, do you think? Because we're really divided now.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've had that conversation with an older friend of mine in the 60s named William Hogue. And, I mean, yeah, he's like, nope, we've always been this crazy.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess maybe it's just the way it's presented now, but it was really an interesting take. So, Aaron, tell me about this, the tweet that President Trump put out. I can't believe that this is even a discussion that people say he may be in violation of the Constitution somehow because of this GIF that was put out of him and CNN.
I think it may technically just be a straight up video, but what it was is apparently Trump a long time ago went on some kind of wrestling, you know, fake wrestling thing,
right?
And pretended to body slam Vince McMahon. And frankly, if you look at the video, I'm pretty sure there's a body double doing the actual body slam.
Right.
You know, I can't be sure, but I mean, suddenly when he's doing everything, you only see him from the back of his head, you know. And anyway, so someone unearthed that video, created a little soundless video where they put CNN's logo over Vince McMahon's face. Okay. And, you know, then at some point, someone in the Trump team decided to do the same thing, maybe inspired by this other person. We're only speculating. But it's a full video with sound and everything. But again, CNN's logo over the person this stand-in for Trump is body slamming. And then just CNN took that and just went apoplectic over the whole thing.
I don't get why this is even a legal question. And the number two, why is CNN? I mean, I get if you're going to go for ratings, but they really seem genuinely pissed about this.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, or maybe they don't, because, you know, the other end of it is when freedom of press has been really threatened, such as when cartoonists drew pictures of Muhammad, mm-hmm. what did CNN do? They folded like a cheap, you know, cheap beach chair, you know? You know, so if they're really scared, why aren't they really folding? You know, that's almost my thought there, but maybe they are really scared.
So now we have some claims that maybe the person that they said created this and threatened, or we had a story about them possibly threatened to out him or whatever, that he didn't end up really creating it, that it was somebody in Mexico or something?
Yeah, they can't confirm it, but they're saying that the GIF/video came from a person that is claiming to be from Mexico. And now it comes to the question is like, do we really care who created the video?
It's so simple. It's a joke. They put a meme a logo on a guy's face, and that's it. What's right.
Well, yeah, and I think, to me, the obvious point of the joke is that Trump is saying he's body slammed CNN. You know, and they go, oh, he's threatening to, what, body slam the entire network, physically?
Each employee, one at a time.
Oh, you're right. No, you're right,
Eric. You come over here, body slam.
I'm going to get you. Body slammed. It'll be tremendous. So, no, Aaron, you're right. Think about it this way. Because people are saying it's a threat. I guess that's the big question. Okay, is it a threat by the president?
Well, there's another theory, which is that it's quote-unquote incitement, which is essentially trying to stir people up to violence. But I'll tell you, I mean, legally speaking, it is a really high standard for incitement. You can do a lot of pretty bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I could say in seriousness, everybody should shoot CNN, you know, employees. And obviously, I'm only hypothetically saying
you're doing this for
that.
A point of discussion to make a point.
Right.
Gotcha.
Right. But if I said that, even then it wouldn't be incitement, because it requires not only advocacy of violence or breaking law, but also has to be under circumstances where it's likely to immediately result in that sort of thing.
So you would have to have some sort of ability to incite, right? And immediately.
It has to be immediate. And okay. It has to be immediate.
Okay, you know, so if I stood out there today advocating for something horrible and people were there listening to me, and then 6 months from now somebody does it, that there's not a direct line.
It'd be hard to argue with excitement.
Okay, because there are all kinds of riots that happen, even the Mike Brown case in Ferguson near St. Louis, where the dad, in the heat of the moment, was saying, you know, basically smash, burn, do all this stuff or whatever. To my knowledge, he was not arrested for inciting. There's a lot of those cases where they are not arrested. It's not applied.
Well, I actually wrote very specifically about that situation. It was Mike Brown's stepfather was saying, you know, pardon my language, burn this bitch down, mm-hmm. right after they announced that they were, you know, they were not even going to indict the guy. And I said, frankly, it would probably be considered incitement, but then you have a second problem, which is that there's no Missouri statute that covered it.
Oh.
You know, what the Supreme Court will say, you can ban these things, but that doesn't mean the state's necessarily going to. You know, there are states that don't even have a threat statute. You know?
So you made a really good point, though. If you say, if you're talking that some sort of violation of the law where he was inciting or he was threatening himself to do it, you would have to say, first of all, look at it literally. Was he literally inciting? Was he literally saying he was going to do these things? Well, that would require him to say, I physically did body slam the entire network. It's not. You're talking about figuratively, because those people are, or the logo represents all of them. So it's not a literal representation, and automatically the whole thing falls apart.
Well, the subtlety is, I mean, obviously not every single threat is spelled out that literally. I mean, you know, you think of, you know, nice business, shame if something happened to it, you know, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. in the old mafioso movie. So, mm-hmm. you know, or to pick a more recent example, the Supreme Court said that burning a cross can be considered inherently a threat to do violence, you know, and even then they said, you know, but you know, you can rebut that. You know, mm-hmm. and so we had a Virginia statute that banned cross burning, and this is kind of defining what it means, you know, and everybody knows it is pretty close to meaning, get the hell out of here or we're going to hurt you, you know.
So at best, if anybody was upset and thought that he was either inciting or threatening, At best, it is a very veiled or not definitive.
I would go as far as to say, they're even knowing how crazy some judges can be, I don't think a single judge would consider it a threat. And incitement, it's not even close to the line. So, I mean, it really is a 100% protected speech. And it's one point I made, you guys contacted me probably over this tweet storm I wrote. Mm-hmm. And one of the early points I made is, look, the President of the United States enjoys First Amendment protections, too. And the other thing is, is that criticism of the press is freedom of expression, you know? And in fact, the founders really, their attitude wasn't, oh, we want to see the press do anything they feel like. It was, our primary regulation of the press is social pressure. You know, not the government, but us saying to the press, you're behaving badly, you know, and please stop. And maybe even, you know, and if you don't stop, we're going to boycott your sponsors and stuff like that. That's what the founders preferred to government regulation. You know, it wasn't they wanted a true free fire zone. They just didn't trust the government to manage it.
See, so if you're claiming that there is a conflict there between the two, you obviously don't understand, because you're right. Your freedom of press does not trump somebody else's freedom of expression or speech. In fact, freedom of the press is talking about the government oppressing their opinions via the press, right?
That's what it meant. The First Amendment only applies to that. I mean, yeah, I always believe, though, that in our hearts we should have a greater sense of freedom of expression, and we should be very tolerant of other people expressing viewpoints we don't like, and not go into immediate, I'm going to destroy your life mode every time somebody says something that offends us, even if the law lets us do it. You know, we should have freedom of expression in our hearts, too.
Awesome. You know? Well, we appreciate you joining us and laying that out, because I gotta be honest, I just haven't gotten it. It just seems so silly to me right now. But Aaron Walker.
It is very silly.
All right. Do you have a Twitter handle? What's your Twitter handle?
Aaron Worthing.
Aaron Worthing.
And it's spelled A-R-O-N, because despite the fact it's a biblical name, almost nobody spells it right.
All right. Sounds good. We'll lay it out there for you, and so people can contact you and see what you've done. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Get a quick break in. But first, I got to tell you about Health IQ. Unfortunately, if you have looked for life insurance in the past, if you have looked for life insurance, you recognize they penalize you if you have certain family histories of diseases, your BMI. I mean, they penalize you when it comes to the fee you pay. It just costs you more if you have certain things. Well, somebody said, you know, what if I live healthier? Shouldn't I get a break? And the industry was like, well, we can't do it. We don't know how we do that. It's not set up to do it.
When you're not healthy, you get penalized.
Right. So shouldn't it be a sliding scale?
Yeah.
They didn't get it. They couldn't get it until Health IQ. Health IQ challenged them and said, we want to do this. And basically everybody in the industry said, do you know how much data you need to be able to guess our costs associated with how healthy you are? And they said, not a problem. So they spent years gathering all this data. They put it together. And it's been incredibly successful for them. So they've already helped tens of thousands of people get billions of dollars in insurance coverage, and they're ready to help you now, too. It's called Health IQ, and all they do is ask you some questions, and they'll give you a quote. You can find out more information, get your free quote, at healthiq.com/blaze. Healthiq.com/blaze. Go there. They'll ask you some basic questions. There's no obligation. Your information is secure. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But you could get lower life insurance rates today, and you never know what's going to happen. You, your family, you want to make sure that you're protected as much as you can. Healthiq.com/blaze.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
So Ted Cruz mentioned that CNN may be in violation of the law based on this whole GIF thing with President Trump. So they claim to be the victim and claiming he might be in violation of the Constitution. I'm just saying.
We'll call him for the 25th Amendment.
By the way, I'm calling GIF GIF now. Okay, I'm just that's something to do. GIF GIF. Because I'm tired. No matter how I say it, people criticize. I'm happy to say it the right way. Just tell me the right way. So until you do, it's GIF GIF.
It's Joff.
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 Anywho, so Ted Cruz cited a New York State statute. New York State statute 135.60. A person is guilty of coercion in the second degree when he induces a person to abstain from engaging in conduct in which he has a legal right to engage. By means of instilling a fear, the actor will expose a secret or publicize an asserted fact, whether true or false, tending to subject one person to hatred, contempt, or ridicule. So basically, when they threatened, allegedly, the person saying, okay, we're going to expose this information about you, it was their First Amendment right to put that out there. Right. You can post that stuff. They're not in violation of the law. Nope. But by CNN saying, we're going to expose some of the other stuff you've done, whether true or not, they are in violation, based on this is written, of New York State law.
Yeah, and this guy, Kay Fire, which, gosh, he's a douche. Which he created this whole thing
really
from CNN. He goes, we never threat him. We said that we're going to. And then you look literally two tweets before, I'm going to dox you. Are you kidding me?
You're going to expose him, right?
CNN, you're going to expose him, but then.
CNN said we're going to expose you. So if they did that, they're in violation. Now, their loophole may be, we're headquartered, because this is New York State.
Yeah.
We're headquartered in
Georgia,
in Atlanta. So other than they have New York office, I'm pretty sure their headquarters in Atlanta.
Yeah, in
so they may say, well, we headquartered in Atlanta, so it originated from there. It didn't. I mean, there could be. Yeah. I don't think so, because you get across state lines, and maybe the tweet originated in the New York offices. I don't know how that plays. That may be their out.
It's fascinating. Maybe stupid K-Files from New York.
This is, K-File is the one who created the...
No, K-File is the producer that contacted...
That's the CNN producer.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is... And Glenn has a theory that it's likely the BuzzFeed people that are in CNN's house now. Glenn worked for CNN, and he's like, no, they would never cross those lines. That's not what they do. Even though you may think they're progressive or whatever, they would never do that type of thing. But the younger BuzzFeed people who have now been put in their office as well...
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe BuzzFeed was the one that broke the story about the kid not being the kid who CNN identified. Uh-huh. BuzzFeed was the one that said, hey, it might be this Mexican person.
So here's what... Okay, wait a minute. There's a lot more to the story we don't know, obviously. But does this tell us that there's an even greater divide at CNN with the BuzzFeed people than we realize? We know there's some, but if BuzzFeed then says, hey,
you got it wrong,
maybe it was CNN, in which case... You got a wedge there between a couple of factions. Oh, my.
Drama.
Well, that also gives a lot of opportunities for anybody else who is opposed to CNN and BuzzFeed and their non-professional bias reporting.
Come out since, because there's a million memes.
Oh, CNN, hashtag since. CNN blacklist.
Yeah, and it's all like the same kind of thing. No, it's like videos of Trump kicking CNN's butt.
Guys, I cannot believe.
My favorite one is
the
one from The Patriot. Did you see that one where the cannon... Trump's head.
Oh, and it blows.
Yeah, off the soldier's head is CNN's head.
They're all very good.
But I cannot believe that this is a. What are you offended by, CNN? Again, like that you it's a threat. Come on,
ever since,
damn it!
From the first day that Trump called them out, specifically CNN, your fake news,
Jay McCosta,
they have taken it personal.
Yep,
or he has taken it personal. Yeah.
Okay, you
and
guys.
Like every chance he gets, he's like, "Do this, take him down." You know, it's like every little.
Even
bit.
If I stood opposed to President Trump, even if I hated him and was a rabid Hillary supporter, I would be standing with him against CNN because they are being little babies punks. About this stuff, punks, goofs. I would absolutely be, because it's not political. You are acting wrong in this CNN. You are, let it go. Move on. Take the high road. Be journalistic.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
The Blaze Radio Network.
This is the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson on the Blaze Radio Network.
Joining me now is Mike Opalka at StuntBrain on Twitter, and he goes by StuntBrain because he's a StuntBrain. How you doing there, buddy-o?
I always smile when I talk to you guys. I have no real reason for that,
smile,
but I
why?
Do.
What are we, so clowns? We make you laugh?
You know, Mike Opalka does, yeah, what are we, like comedians? Like a clown? Is that what you're saying?
How are we
funny?
What, I amuse
how
you?
Funny? How funny?
I amuse you?
Funny how?
So, Mike Opalka, for those that don't know, has his own radio broadcast here on the Blaze Radio Network, noon to 3 Eastern time. And off the air, often, there are many amusing things that happen during the commercial breaks. Or interesting things.
Yeah.
I propose, because we're going to have cameras in the studio very soon, that we begin to roll camera during the commercial breaks and possibly offer added additional content, because there's usually some pretty interesting discussions. For example, during the last break, Cal and I were discussing how they pit olives en masse.
Why do they do it during church?
No, not en masse, en masse, like how they do a lot of it. Like, not the hand pit,
but industrial level.
On Moss, yes.
Because we were talking about how we Doc likes olives, and I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to bring in some olives. He's like, are they going to have pits? I was like, oh, you can't take the 2 extra seconds to spit out a pit? No, I can't do that. Did you know they pit? And then we got this whole conversation how
so you know olives
get pitted.
That are pitted, how they have, you know, the olive hole that's natural, but then they have the little X on the back of it, the little... What they do is they...
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, they have the machine that takes each olive, and through the backside where the X ends up, you know, there's not normally an X, it just makes a little machine, puts an X and pushes it right out, bink, through the other side, boom, pitted olives.
How do you know that's the back side?
It could be the front side. I guess you're right. That is true. That could be. Yeah. Through the side without the natural hole. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. So what have you got against, what does Cal have against the people whose jobs depend on pitted olives?
Why are you only buying the olives with the pits?
Something tells me that the jobs are actually less, since the machines are probably taking people's
jobs. Who fixes the machines? Who makes the machines?
Yeah.
What about that, Cal?
Who manufactures those machines? Why are you a hater?
Why are you trying to... This is first world problems here.
He can't
why
spit out a pit.
Why are you killing jobs? Cal the jobs killer. That's what you got here.
Job killer Cal. That's his new title.
That's my new title, yeah.
So, Mr. Opalka, what do you find interesting in the news today that's at theblaze.com?
Well, I'm still wrestling with Clay Higgins, the representative out of Louisiana, who made the video at Auschwitz.
I was shocked. I'm sorry to interrupt. I saw the poll that you posted. I voted this morning. It's at theblaze.com. Mike, I am stunned that so many people voted differently than I did. What is your take? Lay it out and give me your take, because I got to know.
Well, you know, I watched the whole thing, and this is where I think people are missing the boat. They didn't watch the entire video. For example, comedian Judy Gold is furious and calls him a pig, but I don't think she watched the video. And if you watch the video, you see what his intention is. You see that there's reverence, there's actual emotional, an emotional experience that overwhelms him. Now, granted, there is a sign that once you walk inside the museum says silence is requested out of respect for the people who were murdered here by the SS and the Nazis. And he violated that. So, yeah, he violated that. And I do think had he just done his narration on the outside, on the beginning and the end, and then done a voiceover later, it would have been fine. Nobody would have said anything. But the world has lost its mind, and he's the worst person ever on the planet. He didn't do this in an egomaniacal selfie video. He did it as a history lesson. And I react to the intent, not the fact that he broke the law or broke the rule about the silence.
So the question is, did he do wrong? There's a moral question here, because he broke the rules at Auschwitz by filming in a place he was not supposed to. Yet he did it with reverence because he was so impacted by it. And some people are outraged that he did it because he violated the rules. And other people's are like, it was so beautiful. It was fine. It's as long as it was beautiful, the intent. Well, I didn't watch the video yet because it was right before I got on the air this morning. And I happened to see the post from yesterday. And I clicked on it because I just skimmed through the story. But I looked at it this way, Mike. Yes, intent absolutely matters. But in this scenario, because this is so emotional, and by the way, even if he did violate the rules or whatever, he's not the worst guy. He made a simple mistake. I think that he probably should not have done it, whether he showed reverence or not. I think he should not have done it.
Well, I think he should have, you know, but for the speaking inside the monument,
yes.
It was brilliant. It was beautiful. It was emotional. It was powerful. So I'm just saying, had Debbie Wasserman Schultz done the same thing, I don't think there'd be this outrage.
See, let's look at it this way. No, and you're absolutely right. And again, even if he did it, stop being offended. Stop looking for reasons to be offended, people. Just say, hey, dude, maybe you shouldn't have done that. We move on. I'm sure he's, you know, feels like, you know, bad that people are upset about him. It was not his intent. But, Mike, look at it this way. Take something that you covet, something, the cross, an altar, something in your church, and somebody, because they were trying to show somebody not a Christian, let's say, somebody is in your church and wants to show the beauty of it, wants to show why it's so important, even getting to the point of your religion, trying to show it in good light that it is a wonderful thing for people, but they stand on that cross or altar. Would the people that said it was fine because he showed reverence be fine with that?
I wonder. Hypothetical questions only get hypothetical answers, and that's part of the problem here. But I do think, look, he violated the rules. It's not a law, but it was a rule. So he broke the wishes of the monument, and he should apologize for that. But I don't think he needs to be written out of town on a rail
for trying to
get a message across about what Auschwitz is about. His protocol was improper. I don't think his morals are in question. I think he just has a little bit of a bad behavior in that one point.
So, you know, an A plus for intent and actions, a minor violation, a B.
A C minus. Yeah, I give him a C minus. But
have you ever,
I don't see why the world has lost its mind on that.
Have you ever been there? Have you ever taken a tour of any of that stuff?
No, I'm dying to go there. And trying to work out, I'm trying to weasel a trip over to Europe to see Liberland and then go to Poland and actually go to Czechoslovakia and visit some of the family.
Czechoslovakia, it's like Wisconsin. We're in, we're out.
Exactly. Thank you.
You know, I kind of feel the same way when it comes to the World Trade Center site, the monument there.
You know,
when I see people, I mean, it's a beautiful monument that they built, the reflection pools and everything. But people are there taking selfies and like, it's like a jovial thing. And it's
okay,
from the area, and I was there when 9/11 happened. And I watched those buildings.
That's not even
down.
Necessarily the same level of positive intent. But still, you feel the same way.
I get upset when I see people like not respecting the area.
World War II memorial in Washington D.C., which is beautiful. Told the story of walking through with my son. It is a memorial, folks. It's not a playground, whatever. And kids jumping around.
This is a gravesite.
They're not the worst kids on the planet. They're not killing people. They just need to be taught. Hey,
remember where you are.
Exactly. That's it.
Situational awareness should be the watch phrase of all of us. Be aware of your surroundings, the people, and what needs to be done in terms of decorum. It will help us throughout all of our lives.
Mike, we had the same experience, my wife and I, a few years ago when we went to, although I haven't been to Auschwitz or any of the concentration camps in Germany, any of that, we did go to France and the beach of Normandy there. And we saw some local high school kids, French kids, you know, running around goofing in the cemetery. Not right near the grave sites or whatever, but right there. And as soon as you get there, I mean, there's this overwhelming reverence that you should experience. I mean, it's very powerful. And I thought to myself, that's a teachable moment for them. They're screwing around their kids. It's wrong. But we actually climbed in and out of some of the Atlantic Wall bunkers that are still there. I mean, they're just open.
Oh, wow.
That you can just walk into.
Wow.
I mean, they've been vandalized, you know, spray paint. There's some beer bottles laying around or whatever. But I'm standing in there going, I can't believe this. This is, and it's not just a site where there was a battle or somebody killed or something. It's the Atlantic Wall and how many people that wall was responsible for killing as the Nazis used it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's incredible.
That's an experience I need to have as well. So maybe I need to add France to the trip now too. Thanks a lot, Doc. I'm going to take a longer vacation. I can't do this in a weekend.
Well, let me help you out. I know, and I'm happy to go with you. Once Liberland says yes, they'll fly us over. Let me know, and I'm happy to go with you. Okay.
My passport is on the way. The president of Liberland will be visiting America in 2 weeks, and you know, maybe I connect you as an ambassador, as a cultural ambassador to the Free Republic of Liberland. Maybe I can help.
Did you see me weasel the trip there? Did you see what I was going for?
Yeah, I did.
Okay,
I
good,
did.
Good, good deal. Okay, we'll as long talk. As you got we'll it. Okay, talk. Very good. I got it. All right.
Can I get a quick plug in for
sure.
today's show?
You can also get a what?
remember Michael Jackson's chimp Bubbles?
Not personally or intimately, but I'm aware of it. Yes.
Bubbles is still alive.
By the way, he was here yesterday asking for you.
actually, I have a photograph with Bubbles. So you and Michael, but Bubbles is still alive and doing something amazing for the animal sanctuary where he lives currently. 32 years old he is right now. So I have details on that. Breaking news on what Bubbles is.
Well, thank golly. I just assumed he was going to be on Dancing with the Stars next season.
Did you read my story already? My God, can spoiler alert? Hello?
No, I didn't. I was just goofing. Are you serious? Is that what it is? I was just making smart-ass comments. Oh my gosh. Oh my. I thought I was going to be Scrap Glenn show. I'm going another 3 hours here. All right, let me get a break in. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. On Twitter, it's at StuntBrain. Wow, he got me there.
He did. He got me. You good.
Get a quick break in before I do. I got to tell you about Relief Factor. It's a fantastic product with a noble purpose when they designed it, and that is to help alleviate pain by alleviating inflammation in your body. Most pain, or certainly a lot of it in your body, has to do with inflammation. It's horrible. So how do you deal with the inflammation? Relief Factor. And that way you don't have to take a bunch of other stuff. Some of it may not be great for you. A lot of times when people are trying to get rid of that pain, it's just a pain mask, like narcotics or something else, that have side effects. Why not try Relief Factor? It's pretty cheap. It's only $19.95 for a 3-week quick start pack. And the best part is it works. It's worked for me, Cal, a bunch of people here, a bunch of people in the audience. Yeah.
Get rid of the inflammation instead of just numbing it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a couple of people say, yeah, I tried, it didn't work for me. That's cool. Not everything works for everybody, but by my guess, well into the 90 percentile. Try it today. Just go to relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384 or relieffactor.com.
You are listening to the smooth sounds of the Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
On the Blaze Radio Network!
All righty, that is it, ladies and gentlemen. The end of the Morning Blaze. But before we go, as always, let's find out what we learned today. Brought to you by Earthwater. Go to earthwater.com/blaze.
The Blaze.
The Blaze.
The Blaze.
And make sure to use
The Blaze
to get 10% off.
Your code.
Earthwater.com/The Blaze. Why don't we just uniform all those?
Yeah.
Hashtag smart people don't say first of all, we learned coming next Thursday, Kirk's app of the week.
That's right. Competition, Cal.
We learned that cougars are way too young. Brad's into saber-toothed tigers. We learned it's awful to lose an arm to a croc, but it could be worse. And finally, we learned America got fried chicken. Thank God. Cal, spinning the dials, radio style, dials, text morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned Doc is too important to spit out olive pits.
First of all.
First world problems.
It's not spitting them out. It's, you know, biting them. That's the problem.
I learned my wife can no longer claim the headache excuse. Honey, 21 times a month. It's for my health. It's for my prostate.
Don't you love me?
Look at this report.
Who's going to be around to pay science. For all this stuff if I'm not? Science.
And finally, I learned Kirk has officially embraced the creepy guy uniform, complete with porn stash and shorts that are too short.
We got to explore that tomorrow. I mean, at least on air. Yeah. On air. People Kirk, don't... spin of the dials, radio style. Dallas, text morning. What, if anything, did you learn today?
What I learned today is, Cal, I get every other week for app of the week, and competition's a little, it's good for you. It'll
first show up here 5 days a week, then we can talk, okay?
Wow.
Damn!
Wow.
Wow. Oh, wow, that was a smackdown
there.
Shots
fired.
Wow.
Because Friday is, what do we call him, Not Kirk?
Not Kirk Friday. Not Kirk Friday. That's when Rob's in. Oh, wow. It's Not Kirk. Rob is Not Kirk, so that's good.
Wow.
Brad Staggs, at the Blaze. Brad, what, if anything, did you learn today?
I learned we have a brand new rule, vacation rule number 6517. Never pee in the Cancun Lagoon.
That's right.
I also learned Bravella 2018 is only for women and for me because I'll identify as a woman.
Brad's nice. Brad's coming up on the 4-Minute Buzz in just a minute. Chris Cruz, what, if anything, did the listeners learn today?
Big congratulations to Stephen Ogg, where he announced that they're having a little baby. Baby Ogg.
So shout out. Good job.
Our audience grows to 14.
Yeah.
If you need help naming, let me know. We'll tweet it out.
13.1.
Baby McBaby faces first on our list.
Stephen English tweeting now, what I learned today. Poor choice of words, Stumbrin. Dying to go see Auschwitz? Really?
Auschwitz. I was just going to move on with that. But yeah, you're right. That was.
Sizzling Doc also tweeting now, the Braves blad. So I have to hold back at 21.
No. That's the minimum number.
Hang on a month.
Go full. I mean, beyond that, don't let us stop you.
The tank.
Right, exactly. You know, I just realized we didn't get the new numbers on procrastination, but I'll just do them tomorrow. What do we have coming up tomorrow? What else?
Hollywood headlines with Lex and the Friday leftovers.
Friday leftovers tomorrow. All the great stories we didn't get to earlier in the week. What does Glenn have coming up on his program?
Oh, a wide variety of compelling, cutting edge hard topics. Americans and conservatives everywhere.
What is he wearing today?
Crocodile suit.
Ooh, how appropriate.
Crocodile skin suit.
Remember, the Morning Blaze is today, Chris Cruz production. Six Semper Tyrannis. Good night, Steve Cannon. Wherever you are. Anya, now, you go home. All right.
That was good.
Another one in the can. Ready to go.
Minimum 21 times.
The Morning Blaze with Doc Thompson.
Part of the next generation of talk radio.
This is the Blaze Radio Network.